Have a seat and say hello to long lost friends. Welcome to Godston Baptist Church this morning. And isn't it a great day? Isn't it nice to see the sunshine? And isn't it great to be back together as a family on a Sunday morning after we've all kind of been off and served God's kingdom in our different places, and then we can come back together and celebrate God and worship together and share a little bit about what's been going on in our weeks and just be together. So it's good to be together. Let's just pray that God will be with us this morning. Father God, thank you that we can be here. Thank you for the sunshine. Thank you for this family, Father, for bringing these people together to this place right now. We pray this morning, Father, that we can honour you, Father, that we can worship you, and that you would like what you see here, Father, and we can just hear your voice through this service, through the different things that are going on. In your name, amen. It's great to welcome Charlie and Lou back from the depths of Wales, the heights of Wales, and Lou will be speaking to us a little bit later on from Joshua, which I think is the first part of our new series, Joshua, and there's some cards here which you can grab afterwards, which has got all the weeks and the different things that are going on through that. Verse for you guys this morning that I want to share, Joshua 1:9, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Great verse, isn't it? What a great promise. And we're going to be thinking more about that as the service goes on through song and through what Lou's going to come and bring to us. Let me just say you're welcome, if you haven't been here before, to stay afterwards and grab a coffee in the back hall and a biscuit and have time to chat to other people from the church. And there might even be some biscuits out there to nibble as well. A couple of notices just before we get started. I think Alex has got a notice.
Put your hands up if you like cake. It's a good sign. So 2 weeks' time, 2 Sundays' time, Stepping Stones will be doing a cake sale. Speak in a race, man. So, two Sundays' time, Stepping Stones will be doing a cake sale in aid of BMS, Baptist Missionary Society, and it's also in support of our harvest service, which will be at the end of October. So, come with your wallets and purses full of money, 2 Sundays' time.
Cool. Has anybody else got any notices? Okay, I've got a few from Phil. Phil's away this weekend with Claudia for their anniversary, so hope they're having a great time together. Some notices. We have an alpha course starting in about 10 days' time, and we really need loads of people there. It'd be really great. So if there's anybody you'd like to invite, there's a whole load of these cards just outside by the door. Grab one. It's got details of where they're running, the one we're running as well, which starts on the 8th of October. And get people along to that. It's a really great course. Even if you're just wanting to refresh kind of your faith and sort of where it all comes from, and this is a really great course. I love doing these courses because it just sort of reaffirms everything and goes through it so simply, and yet it's really powerful. So do grab one of those and think about who you might be able to invite along to that. What else has he asked me to say? GBC, Vision and Values. If you haven't been at the church meeting or the service for the last couple of weeks, there is our new kind of vision leaflet with our new statement of knowing, growing and going. And on the back, there's a whole load of values and things that we want to stand by as a church. And Phil and the leadership team would love you guys to grab one of these, have a real good read through it. And if there's anything you want to feed back to us, please do. This is the time to do it. So grab one of those. There's a whole load of them here and by the front door as well. and the new programme card, okay, with all what's happening up until November. Last thing, on the 12th of October, SIBA have booked the Angel Centre, I think it's the Angel Centre, River Centre in Tunbridge for this big conference. And I think there's been a bit of a panic this week that actually they haven't really got many people going. So real big push for that. It's going to be a really good event, I'm told. And if you can make it along, could you let Amanda know as soon as possible? It's a SIBA event for the day on the 12th of October. Everything's going to be there. Great sort of preaching and all that sort of stuff. So come and speak to Amanda about that or Phil. Yeah, and a youth event that goes alongside at the same time. Okay, I think that's it, unless anybody else has got any other notices. No? Cool, I'm going to hand over to Charlie and to Joe and Julian. They're going to lead us in worship.
Good morning. Normally I rush into church and then I sit down and my head's kind of elsewhere and you sort of go through the beginning of the service not really thinking too much about God. But I just want to encourage you, we're going to sing a couple of songs together. It's not about the singing, it's just take the time to meditate on the words, talk to God, just centre your minds and your hearts back on God, and that's what we're doing, we're worshipping Him. So let's stand and we'll sing together. Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. For He is good, He's above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise. Sing praise. With a mighty hand and outstretched arm, His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, His love endures forever. Sing praise. Sing praise. Sing praise. Sing praise. Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong, forever God is with us, forever. From the rising to the setting sun, His love endures forever. By the grace of God we will carry on, His love endures forever. Sing praise. Sing praise. Sing praise. Sing praise. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us, forever. Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong. Forever God is with us, forever. Thank you, Lord, that your love endures forever, that everything we can seem to fail at, that your love goes on and it endures.
strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God. The everlasting God. You do not faint, you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles. As we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength to us, we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever, our hope, our strong the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, and you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles.
Yes, Father God, we just want to praise your name now. You are the everlasting God. And you don't change, and what you've done for us will never change. And we just thank you, Lord, that you can transform our lives. Amen. Amen. I'd like to take a seat.
It's time? It's time? Did he just say it's time?
We didn't have a lot of fun in the desert. Didn't have a lot of sand. Settle up your cow and
we're going to the promised land.
For years I've eaten up much of that is filling the bland.
But now we're on our way.
We'll have our chance to fight. Cause we're going to the promised land. In the promised land, it's gonna stand. We'll have our fill from the grill as much as we can stand.
This thing with Bush in command.
Like a cheese and some cows and cheese.
Because we're going to the promised land. And in the promised land, it's gonna be so grand. We'll have our fill from the grill as much as we can stand. It'll be so great, well, we can hardly wait. Because we're going to the promised land. And in the promised land, it's gonna be so grand. We'll have fill from the grill as much as we can stand. It'll be so great.
Put waffles on my plate.
Because we're going to the promised land.
I hear it's flowing with milk and honey.
Sounds sticky.
Because we're going to the promised land. Yeah, we're going to the promised land. We're going to the promised land.
Yeah. We love ourselves, don't we? And I guarantee you won't be able to get that out of your head for hours. I'm watching it a couple of times this week and it's crazy. But isn't it great? So God promised them to take the Israelites into a land flowing with milk and honey, which it might be sticky. I was thinking it's kind of weird, milk and honey, and I'm sure there's a whole load of theological reasons and reasons why the land was producing great things. But the Israelites were promised to go into this land that was just going to be perfect for them. And if you remember, they sent some scouts in. Does anyone know what a scout is? No, what's a scout? Yeah, excellent. So they sent like a couple of James Bonds into the land to go and have a bit of a look at it and see what was there. And they came back with some grapes and some other bits and pieces. And they said, the land's brilliant. It's really great. There's one problem. And that is, there's a whole load of people there. And in those load of people, there's a whole load of giants. Right? So there's a kind of a few Goliaths thrown into the mix there. And the Israelites were like, well, hang on a second. I'm not sure I want to go into that land. Not if there's giants. I don't want to go and fight giants. I think, actually, it might be easier to go back to Egypt where we were slaves, but at least we knew where we were there and we haven't got to fight giants. But God said, no. He said, be strong and courageous. With me, and if you trust me, then anything's possible. And I will take you into this land and it will be yours. And you will overcome these giants and it will be your land. Great story. I wondered this morning whether any of the adults have perhaps got something to share where something has seemed quite impossible, but with God, it's made it possible. Has anyone got any stories that they can share where God has done something in their lives that they thought maybe wasn't possible, but with God was possible? Mark.
Yeah, I've gone through a divorce in the past. I was really, 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 really low. You know, at the lowest it ever be. And I remember at several nights just asking Jesus just to sit on the edge of my bed and hold my hands. And I could tangibly feel that strength and got me through that very dark part over a couple of years. It was just wonderful just to feel his presence there.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. I was thinking this morning as well, just about people going through illnesses and cancer and stuff like that. And sometimes we can get through that stuff without God. But you know what? God, when you look at people's lives and what they're going through, God makes it so much easier for people. And he really holds us through those times and makes what can seem so impossible, possible. And that's what we're going to be thinking about more this morning. That with God, all things are possible. And we're going to sing a song. This is a great kid's song. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. So let's stand and let's sing together. Be bold, be strong.
So you want to have the action?
Be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. I am not afraid, I am not dismayed, because I'm walking in faith and victory. Come on, I'm walking in faith and victory, for the Lord your God. Be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. I am not afraid, I am not dismayed, because I'm walking in faith and victory. Come on, I'm walking in faith and victory, for the Lord your God.
Excellent. Okay. Let's just have a seat for a moment and let's just pray for our young people as they go out to their classes. Father God, we thank you for all the young people in our church, and we just pray for them as they go out now to their classes. We ask that you just speak to them and that they would know you, Father, through what they hear and through what they see through their leaders. And we ask that the leaders, Father, you just bless them. We thank you for giving their time up, and we pray that you would feed them in those places, that they would hear your voice through the young people and through what they're preparing today. Amen. Okay, yes, young people, leaders, off you go. There goes half our church. I'm going to just go into a slightly sort of quieter time of prayer together. I wonder if you guys would just join me in praying and just being silent and just thinking about some of the things that are going on in our world at the moment, in Godston, in our church family. I think if we do, we could probably be here for days praying for all the different things that are going on. It'd be good to pray for things that are going on in the Middle East. And, I don't know, that God would give us wisdom there so we can understand what's going on a bit more, and to be able to pray wisely into that situation for the people who are suffering, for the way that we deal with it as the West, etc. Let's just pray for that whole situation, which is so complicated. And things that are going on in Godston at the moment for the Alpha course, for the different outreach things that are going on, for different home groups and things. And then for individuals in the church as well, who just need our prayer. So can we just pray for 5 minutes or so? Please just pray silently or aloud as you feel led, and I'll close in a few minutes. Father, there's so many things going on in the world, in Godston, in our lives, in the lives of people around us, family and friends. And we lift those up to you, Father, and thank you that we can trust you in all things, and that you make things possible, Father. Father, we don't just want to bring lists of needs. Father, we also want to thank you. We want to thank you for all the things that you do. All the things that you give us, Father, the joys in our lives, the things to be thankful for. Father, we just lift up some of those to you now. Things in our lives, Father, that we can just thank you for. Father, we lift up all these things in our minds and our hearts to you in your name. Amen. Cool, I'm going to hand over to the band and we're going to sing two songs. During the first song, if we could just take up our collection and or offering. This is for the church members to give as they wish.
We're going to sing Greatest Thy Faithfulness. So if you'd like to stand and sing.
They fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and the peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine and 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Just join in, maybe, as you get to learn the words. Quite an easy one to pick up, hopefully.
I'm giving you my heart, and all that is within. I lay it all down for the sake of you, my King. I'm giving you my dreams. I'm laying down my rights. Giving up my pride for the promise of new life. And I surrender all to you, all to you. And I surrender all to you. All to you. I'm singing you this song. I'm waiting at the cross, and all the world holds dear. I count it all as lost for the sake of knowing you, for the glory of your name. Sharing in your pain. And I surrender all to you, all to you. And I surrender all to you, all to you. And I surrender all to you, all to you. And I surrender all to you.
This is our prayer. We pray, Lord, that you would enable us to lay our lives down for you, to surrender all to you, to give up trying so hard to do things ourselves and to be in control, but to give that control to you. Because that is the promise of life that you've given us, that you will give us life. And we don't need to try and create it ourselves, so we just give it up to you, Lord. Amen. Please take a seat.
Going to come and speak to us. Let's just pray for her as she comes and does that. Father God, we thank you for Lou being here this morning, and we just pray that you'd speak through her to us, Father, that we would be ready to hear what you have to say to us, Father. And we pray that you challenge us this morning in your name. Amen.
Amen. Lovely to be back with you all, to see some lovely smiley faces. If you want to get from A to B in a car, or if you want to get into your house, you need a set of these. Who has ever lost their keys? I'm sure we've got many good stories of where we've lost our keys. I know Lou's got loads of stories, Lou Tucker. She's got loads of stories of when she's had to climb up ladders outside the back of her house and climb in through the bathroom window, haven't you, Lou? Charlie and I have got a great story about 11 years ago. We were on our honeymoon and we went to the beach one day, and Charlie accidentally took the keys into the sea with him for the hire car, and then we had this panic for about half an hour where we couldn't get the car to work, and we were thinking, how are we going to like sort this out? We don't speak French. We're in Corsica, and we managed to open up the key. I got my nail with a bit of cloth and scrubbed away the sort of erosion that had happened from going into the sea. Thankfully, the car worked, and we were able to enjoy the rest of our honeymoon. I'm sure you've got some great stories, and this morning we're going to be looking at some keys to success. And many people over the centuries have said some great things about what the keys to success are. And I've got four quotes up here, just from sort of some well-known people that I thought that you might like to have a look at before we start. So before anything else, preparation is the key to success. That was Alexander Graham Bell. Bill Cosby, do you remember the Cosby Show? Yeah. I don't know the key to success, but the key to failure is trying to please everybody. Albert Schweitzer, he said, success is not the key to happiness. Happiness is the key to success. If you love what you're doing, then you will be successful. I'm sure that lots of you can testify to that. And Monica Seles, she said, that's the key to success, isn't it? It has to be fun. So some keys to success. Well, this morning, as Ben sort of already introduced to us, we are looking at a very pivotal moment in history when God thrusts some keys to success at his people. Moses, their leader, has just died, and the Israelites are told that they can now go in over the Jordan into the land of Canaan. And God wants his people to succeed. He wants them to go into this promised land. And so he hands them some keys, and we're going to read about that now. So I'd love you all to grab a Bible. Make sure that you can all see one, because we'll be sort of going through this. It's Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 to 9. Now, Phil has begun a new series. It's called Going Forward with God. And you're going to be over the next, I think, 4 weeks, looking through some sort of crucial moments in Joshua's life with the idea of moving forward with God as a church. And we're starting at the very beginning of sort of this pivotal moment in history of Joshua's life. It's not the beginning of Joshua's life. I'll talk about that in a second. But let's read Joshua 1, verse 1 to 9. So you've got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Joshua. Everyone's in Joshua, right? After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, that's Moses, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I'm giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you. From the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live.
For I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That's what Ben spoke this morning to the children. So Joshua, we meet him, first of all, in our Bibles, about 2 months after Moses has led the people out of slavery in Egypt, across the Red Sea, and they're now in the wilderness. And we see Joshua as a soldier. He's a soldier. I always have trouble with that word. And he has been chosen by Moses to be a soldier. And he's chosen to take some guys and to fight some of the Israelites' enemies. We see him as a man that's willing to follow orders. He's a man of courage. He's not afraid to take on God's enemies. And we also read about the fact that Joshua was full of wisdom of the Lord. And Joshua then becomes Moses' servant, and he has the privilege of being on a bit of a journey with Moses in some very important moments in history. God spent many years training and preparing Joshua for this responsibility that he's given in this passage that we've just read. And Joshua, in this passage, is in his late 80s. So for those of you that are in that sort of era, take note, Joshua is in his 80s. And God has a specific sort of plan for Joshua. He wants him to go into battle with the Israelites' enemies. And I've got a map. And this is the map time. So this is the land of Canaan that they're going to go into. And all the blue names are the names of the peoples that are in that land that they are going to have to fight against. So there's loads. I'm not going to read them all. And Joshua has to go into battle with all of these enemies. He needs to conquer the land and he needs to divide it between the tribes. That's his commission. So then if you go to the end of the book of Joshua, you will read that all of those things that God has directed Joshua to do, he has fulfilled. He's fulfilled those things. And the next map will show you. This is what happened after sort of a few years, about 60 years, Joshua divided the land between the 12 tribes. If you count, there's 13, but there's the tribe of Manasseh's got 2 bits. I was counting loads. I was thinking, anyway, there's 13 bits there. That's what happened. That's what Joshua did. So Joshua was successful in completing this commission that he was given. So what are the keys to his success? And that is what we're going to look at this morning. What are those keys? And in this passage that we've read, verses 1 to 9, I think there are 3 keys to his success. 3 keys that I think are not only in this bit of the Bible, that are repeated throughout many occasions in successful periods of the Israelites' history. And 3 keys that actually I think we could take on as a church in thinking about how we could be successful. I say we, I sort of still think of you as our church. And also individually as well. So I want you to be thinking this is about GBC and the church. This is a talk this morning which is aimed at the church. But also, hopefully, you can take bits and apply it to your individual situations as well. So the first key to success, I want to suggest, is we're going to look at verses 1 to 5, and that is pursuing God's word and God's ways. It's very simple. So, verses 1 to 5, if you have a look at that, it is a reminder of God's plan to Joshua. He's reminding Joshua of what he's said and promised to Moses, And he's saying, he's explaining what he's going to do to Moses. It's God's plan. It's what he's going to do. It's where they're going to go. It's God's vision for this nation. And so at the beginning here, Joshua is in no doubt, and therefore we can be in no doubt that the central character of the book of Joshua is not Joshua, it's God. God is the central character of the Bible. This is not really about Joshua's success, it's about God's success. God is the central character here. And so the secret of Joshua's military success is not his giftedness at being a general or a great strategist or a swordsman, but rather his willingness to serve the word of God and to serve the way of God. So Joshua would have understood, you know that verse that the Hebrew writer says, that the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. Joshua would have said amen to that. He would have got that. It wasn't about how good he was with a sword. It was about the fact that he was willing to serve the word of God and the way of God. Verses 7 to 9, God says it twice very clearly. He gives these very simple instructions to Joshua and his people about how they're going to succeed. It's a very simple equation. It's a 1 plus 1 equals 2 equation. So have a look in verse 7, or it's verse 6 actually. Verse 7. Be careful to obey all the instructions. Do not deviate from them, then you will be successful. That's a 1 plus 1 equals 2 equation, isn't it? Don't deviate, so observe the law, understand God's instructions, obey them, and you will be successful. 1 plus 1 equals 2. Have a look at verse 8. It says the same thing. Study the book of instruction carefully, meditate on it, and then you will prosper and be successful. It's exactly the same equation. 1 plus 1 equals 2. Study the book, meditate on it, do what it says, and you will be successful. It's very simple. Remember that for Joshua and the people, what God was talking about here was the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. So Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And that recorded, they would have had it written down. It would be, what, would it have been through word of mouth or written down? It was written down, wasn't it? Yes, it was written down. And they would have known about the history of their people. They would have known about all of what happened with Abraham and then all the instructions that God gave them for being a community of people. And at the end of Joshua's life, when he just before he dies, he reminds the people how it is that they've been able to succeed in that commission that God gave Joshua. And he puts it down to this very bit, verses 7 to 9. He repeats it in his final speech, which you can find in chapter 23. He says it was about sticking to the word of God, and he reminds them to stick to the word of God. And then also, I want to just, I can read it to you, or if you want to, you can turn to it in Joshua 24. There's a big speech, so 23 and 24. And I'm just going to read you two verses from 17 to 18. So Joshua says, "For the Lord our God is the one who rescued us and our ancestors from slavery in the land of Egypt. It was he that performed mighty miracles before our very eyes. As we travelled through the wilderness among our enemies, he preserved us. It was the Lord who drove out the Amorites and the other nations living here in the land. So we too will serve the Lord, for he alone is our God." So success was down to the fact of the fact that they went forward with God. Joshua is to stick with God's instructions. He's to know them inside out because it's God's plan and God knows the best way for it to succeed. And he's to meditate on them. Now meditate, so up here there's this word, which is spelled H-A-G-A, and I think that you say dorgor or daggal. I don't know Hebrew. That's the word. And what it literally means is, it's not this idea that we might have about meditation of sort of sitting there and humming and putting our fingers together. It's this idea that you chew on something, that you devote your thoughts to it, that you sound it out, that you moan it, that you groan it. It's the act of a thoughtful deliberation with the implication of speaking to oneself. So you're devoting your thoughts to it. You're chewing on it, and you're convincing yourself of it. So Joshua was just continually to get into those five books and understand about God through it, and that would be that would lead him to the way of success. So for Joshua, doing things God's way and not his own meant that he needs to be constantly praying in communication with God, asking God, listening to him, searching through his instructions. Joshua was called to this personal submission to the word of God, and that is what leads him to success. And I think, you know, you could look at loads of different verses in the Bible, and you'll probably know lots of them. They're hopefully pinging in your head now, of the fact that the scripture, not just the Torah, but the rest of what we have here, you know, we need to be devoting ourselves to that if we are going to be successful as a church and as individuals. You know, Paul says in Timothy that that all scripture is useful for teaching, and it has many sort of other attributes to it. Now, we've got many examples in the Bible where God shows us how successful you can be when you follow his words and his ways. But we've also got many examples of when people didn't follow his words and his ways and the consequences that sort of came after that. And one of those is found in Numbers 20. And so Joshua would have, you know, had this to look at when he was exploring and searching through and meditating on the scriptures. The story, or that the event when Moses was asked by God to go before the people with his staff and draw water from a rock. And God gave him very specific instructions that he was to hold the staff and command water out the rock, and the water would come out. Now Moses, I don't know what happened. He must have thought, I'm not quite sure if that's really going to happen. Can I really trust God? I'm going to do it in my own way. And he took his staff and he hit the rock to make the water come out, and water came out. And the consequences of Moses taking actions into his own hands, thinking that he had a better way to do it, was that God said to him, actually, you're not going to be able to enter into that land that I've promised. So devastating consequences for Moses, and then Moses dies and Joshua takes over. Also, we see 40 years prior to what we've just read in Joshua, the Israelites tried to enter the land, and Ben talked a bit about that this morning already. They tried to enter the land, but they were too focused on their fear, weren't they, and their human reasoning, that they ended up wandering around the desert for the next 40 years. And so, as Ben said this morning, that is why God repeated in this passage, you see, God says three times, what does he say? Be strong and courageous, be strong and very courageous, be strong and courageous. Joshua would have needed to hear that. The people would have needed to hear that. You need to be strong and courageous. Now, being strong to me has this idea of having a mind, an attitude of strength, maybe drawing sort of on the on power that's going to come from within. Being courageous goes a step further than that, I think. Being courageous is an outward behaviour, isn't it? If you're going to be strong, you're going to sort of, yeah, you're building yourself up. If you're going to be courageous, it's actually about an act. It's actually about stepping forward. And so this is my second key to success. First one is pursuing God's way and God's word. The second one is stepping forward. Israel owned the land because of God's gracious gift. He had promised it through a covenant with Abraham years before that this land of Canaan would be theirs. But their enjoyment of the land, their ability to enjoy this sticky land of milk and honey, and apparently cheese souffle, according to the VeggieTales, was going to be dependent on them actually entering it. They actually had to step foot into it. So can you see that in that bit that we read in verse 7 and 8, the 1 plus 1 equals 2 equation, God says, listen to the scripture, observe it, but you need to obey it and do it, and then you'll be successful. So God is willing their success, but they have to make the move. Now, in preparation for this, I asked Phil to give me your vision statement. I was very interested to read it. I hear it's hot off the press, and so please make sure, if you haven't seen it, that you take one away with you at the end. And the first thing that I noticed as I looked through it was It is absolutely jam-packed full of actions, of things that you're going to do. I'm going to read some of them to you. This is what your vision says. You're going to risk it all. You're going to no longer be satisfied. You're going to show the way. You're going to go towards God. You're going to be chain breakers, disciple makers. You're going to be moved. You're going to go into. You're going to be expecting. You're going to be hope peddlers. You're going to be life bringers. You're going to be seed throwers. You're going to be sent. You're going to be following. You're going to be learning. You're going to be giving. You're going to be discovering. You're going to be developing. Hey, I'm very excited to come back. When are we next back? At the end of November, I'm very excited to come back and see all of this action and all of this moving. God is willing the success of GBC. He wants you to take hold of this vision, and he wants you to go into your communities, your workplaces, your schools, your friendship groups, your neighbourhoods, and he wants you to be building his kingdom and being successful. But you have to make the move. It's not just going to like plonk it on your plate. You have to step forward. God wills by calling, and he calls Joshua. It's a very specific call. If you look at that passage, you will notice that it's so personal. It's you to Joshua. It's a very personal call. And if you notice in verse 2, he says this. So in my version, it says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people. The time has come. In another version of the Bible that I've got at home, it instead of saying the time has come, it says, arise, Joshua, arise and go. Now, at this point, I'd just like to maybe, if that's okay, update you a little bit on where me and Charlie are in our lives. For those of you who know, hopefully you might want to know, and I apologise to those people who don't know us, but hopefully you'll find it interesting. And I'd like, you know, to use it as a bit of time to encourage you to pray for us when you go back home, because it fits in nicely with this bit that I'm just talking about. So I just wanted to let you know that Charlie, he's doing really well at work. He's just had a 6-month review, sort of informal review, and they're sort of pleased with how he's doing. So he's not been sacked yet, and he's enjoying it, getting sort of a bit more responsibility, enjoying sort of starting each day at 8:30, praying and reading the Bible with his team, amazing privilege, and getting sort of involved in all the different tasks at the Quinta, which is where his job is, particularly enjoying being on duty. So he has to be on duty looking after groups, like a church will come in and have their weekend away, and Charlie will be sort of responsible for looking after them, unblocking the toilets, sorting out broken lights, broken showers, all that sort of thing. Charlie's on the end of a phone, and he's really enjoying that. he's very handy, is Charlie. Very thankful that I married him. And also particularly enjoyed, a few weeks ago, had a massive conference of students. Student Christian Union leaders came. Hannah Knight went last year, actually, to this same conference at the Quinta. And it's a festival. They have lots of talks and worship. And there was 1,500 students on site, and it was brilliant, really exciting to be around that, and we sort of enjoyed being around that. So Charlie's doing well, but ask him some more after the service. Our house, we're still in our rented, lovely cottage that we're in, and we should be moving into our bungalow, which is on site, at the end of November. We've got lots to do in that to sort of make it a family home rather than guest accommodation, which is what it's been used as. So could you pray for that? Really appreciate prayer for that. Kids have settled in well to school. Riley had a rocky start, but he's doing really well. Erin started reception in the same school, and she's really enjoying it. You know what Erin's like, just flings herself in, and she's made lots of friends. I've been getting to know a lot of the mums, and been enjoying that. We've found a church that we've been part of since we started, really. And then really, what I wanted to share with you was sort of personal from me, really, about what I've been doing. So when we left here, God really said quite clearly through a couple of people from church here, and then consequently through me praying and reading some stuff in the Bible, that God really wanted me to wait and to be still for 6 months. Now, for those of you who know me, being still is not easy at all. And even in the last, probably more like in the last 3 months, I've had quite a lot of requests and asks of things for me to do. So I've been asked to join the PTA at school. I've been asked to come and have a look at the youth work at the church that we're part of and join in there. They had a big sort of meeting and they're trying to reassess it. I've been asked to be part of a children's holiday club, been asked to help lead the toddler group that I go to. And even on Thursday, I got a phone call. Well, actually, he tried to phone the other week from a vicar that I've never met who found out that I was a youth worker and was wondering whether I could take on a youth club in his village. And you'll be, hopefully you'll be pleased to know that I've said no to everything except for one tiny thing. I did do a little Bible story at the playgroup the other day. But hopefully it was all right. It was a very clear introduction and I was going to stick to it, and it's great because I've been able to use it as an excuse to say no, and I've stood my ground, and I've been enjoying just spending some time really praying into things. I've been praying for lots of you. I hope that you know that you're often thought of by me and Charlie, and I've been praying for you. And also just looking and searching the scriptures. I've been going through Isaiah and finding some amazing stuff in there. And God has been continually saying the same thing. Wait, be still, until Phil gave me this passage to preach on. I opened it and it was like it sort of hit me off the page when I read in my other version of the Bible, arise and go, Joshua. And it was like, it was sort of like, oh, okay. And then literally the last four sermons at the church that we've been going to have just been on exactly the same thing, just been saying the same thing. Get ready, Lou. Get ready to go. And also the things that I've been reading in my quiet time, the things that people have been saying to me. And so I would really appreciate if you could pray for me, that I make really wise and discerning decisions about what I get myself into. Because you know what I'm like. I will just throw myself into lots of things and I'll burn out. And I really want to make sure that I'm investing into the kids as well, and also the relationships that I've been building up with the mums at school. So please pray for that. So that's sort of how it fits in with the story. It's been very encouraging to read this. It's been a real source of thankfulness of seeing how God has been working in our lives over the last few years. So Joshua was called to a task. If you look at verse 6, so he's told to arise and go, therefore the time has come. In verse 6, God says, be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess the land. It's going to be Joshua. So my third point is the key to success is pursuing God's word and God's way. It's pursuing, it's stepping forward, but it's also standing on God's promises. In Genesis, God says to Abraham, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars, and I'm going to give you a land that you will possess, a land flowing with milk and honey. And God continually reaffirms this promise, even though the Israelites keep sort of turning their back on God, they keep forgetting God's word and God's way, but God brings them back and he keeps reaffirming his promise, you will have a land. Now, Ben helpfully sort of introduced this story, but remember that story or that event where Moses sends out the 12. So thank you, Ben, for sort of bringing that in. I just want to go into that slightly more. So Moses sends the 12 because they want to scout out the land and they want to see if they, how they're going to take it over, how they're going to enter the land. And 10 of the spies came back, as Ben said, and they shared the news of these giants and of huge walled cities and massive armies. And they really discouraged the people, saying, how on earth could this small group of people defeat all of these enemies? But two of the spies came back, didn't they? Joshua and Caleb. And they had the minority view. They agreed that there were giants and there were walled cities, but they encouraged the people to trust in God and his promises and to go ahead into the land. But what did the Israelites do? Who did they listen to? They listened to the 10. The Israelites became weighed down by their problems, by their fear, their inferiority, and they sort of forgot about the promises of God. And it delayed the conquest of the land for more than 40 years until we get to this point. Joshua, he didn't allow the massive difficulties to weaken his faith. He was so sure that God was going to fulfill his promises. He interpreted the circumstances through what he knew was true about God. How did he know what God was like? Well, he'd been searching the scriptures. He was dedicated to the scriptures. And I think that's something that we really need to take on board, isn't it? You know, for the circumstances that we're going in, you know, there's people sitting here who are going through hard circumstances, and we can often see it, you know, we can see it through two sets of glasses, can't we? So we need to see it through the truth of God. And the only way that we can do that is if we get into the Word of God and understand the character of God. Can you see the difference that holding on to God's promises can make? If they had held on to God's promises then, they could have entered the land, but instead they ended up wandering around for 40 years. So I want you to imagine a church that could hold on to the promises of God rather than sort of, you know, grumbling and moaning about things, sort of wandering around. A church that holds on to the promises and speaks those promises out in all the situations that you go through as a church, in the scary moments, in the conflict moments, in the moments of illness, in the moments of heartache, in the moments of celebration as well. Imagine a church where people just repeated the promises of God and declared those promises. So I'd like to just do something a little bit active now, as we sort of draw to a conclusion. I would like you just to spend a few minutes, a couple of minutes, thinking through those promises that God has declared over your life and over the life of the church, so Andor. And he will have, now for some of you, you just won't know where that is in the Bible, but if you do, turn to it and have a look at it and read it and just sort of chew on it a bit, just in a few moments of silence. If you don't know where it is, just think on it or ask your neighbour. Think on it. If you don't know, you know, the exact promise of God, just think about those things that God has said over your life. You know, that you are saved, or that he's with you, or that you've been forgiven. You know, take something, and I just would like you just to chew on it just for a few moments, okay? So I'm just going to give you a few moments. If you can, open your Bibles, but just take something that God has promised over your life or the life of the church. The writer of Hebrews, he said this to some Jewish people in chapter 10, verse 23. He said this: "Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for our God can be trusted to keep his promise." So let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise that you were thinking of. So hold tightly to that. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, but encourage one another, especially as we see the day of his return drawing near. So I would like us to do something a little bit sort of an action going forward. And I would like us to encourage one another with those promises. So I'd like you to, if you feel you're able to, I'd like you to stand up. Okay? So can you stand up, please? Move. Wake up. Arise. Okay, because we don't sit on the promises of God. Don't sit on the promises of God. They are amazing. encourage one another with the promises of God. Imagine a church where people spoke the promises of God over each other. So what I'd like to encourage you to do, if you feel able to, I'd like you to just speak out your promise that you had in your mind, if you feel you're able to encourage one another. Don't worry if it's not the exact words, just if you could speak out. I'm going to start, and then I will hand it over to you just to speak it out as loud as you can, and then I'm going to close with a verse from the Bible. Okay, so my promise is what God has said to me all throughout our move to Shropshire, and Joe Yardley inscribed on a bit of church, old church flooring for me, which is up on our mantelpiece, and it's from Genesis, and it says, and it repeats what it says in the Joshua passage. It says, I am with you wherever you go, even in Shropshire, and I will watch over you and protect you. So I want to share that with you and speak that into your life.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Yep.
I know the plans I have for you, plans for good and not for evil.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight.
Years of psychological illness and agoraphobia, and trusting my Lord to save me. One of the verses in Isaiah, you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace.
Yeah.
And I've seen that come true.
Nothing can separate you from the love of God.
Be courageous, do not fear.
We all have a guardian angel. Is not this the kind of pastor I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood, then here's the promise. Your light will break forth like the dawn. Your healing will quickly appear. Your righteousness will go before you. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. And here's the wonderful promise. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, here I am. Wonderful promise in Isaiah.
I had this at my baptism. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Lord will give you whatever you ask in my name.
Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything.
For your kingdom, God, is an everlasting kingdom. You rule throughout all the generations, and the Lord always keeps his promises, and he's gracious in all he does. Please take a seat. Please keep encouraging people those promises. You know, if you have a verse that comes to mind, or some truth from God that comes to mind when you're speaking to someone, you know, when they're sharing something, just share it with them. You know, sometimes it's a bit scary, but share it with them. So just in summary, what can we learn from Joshua 1:1-9? What are the keys to success for Joshua? Well, I think they're keys to success in our own lives, and especially for the church here as you think about going forward with your vision. Pursuing God's word and God's ways. Step forward and stand on his promises. Or probably in reverse, actually. Stand on God's promises. Step forward and pursue God's ways and God's word. And I want to just finish with this last verse, which I think sort of pulls it all nicely together. John writing to the Christians after Jesus has gone back. From 1 John 2 verse 24, it says, so you must remain faithful. So GBC, You must remain faithful to what you have been taught from the beginning. If you do, you will remain in fellowship with the Son and with the Father. And in his fellowship, we will enjoy the eternal life that he has promised us. So hold on to those promises. Stand on the promises. Step forward. So take action. Invite someone to Alpha. And pursue God's ways and God's word. Tolly, we're going to sing. Going to sing sort of a prayer, sort of you know, confidence in God as we finish our service.
If you'd like to stand, we're going to sing Our God is Greater.
Turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes you rise. There's no one like you. Like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. God, our God. Darkness you shine, out of the ashes you rise, there's no one like you, none like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger, God you are higher than any other, our God is healer, awesome in power, our God. Our God is greater, our God is stronger, God you are higher than any other, our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God. Thank you.
you've spoken this morning, those challenges that we can go away with now. Father, I pray that as we leave this place, that you would use us in our schools, in our colleges, in our workplaces, in our streets. Let us build your kingdom here, Father, in Godston, Oxted, surrounding areas. And Father, can we be your hands and your voice and serve you, standing on your word and your promises and building your kingdom. Father, strengthen us, challenge us this week, and be with us in your name. Amen. Lou's made some notes to meditate on, to use as study notes, which are on the platform. So do grab one of those before you go.
Celebration breaking into